good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in the zone.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in the zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio, presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And one really cool memory that I have with my dad is, you know, my dad and my brothers, who were all Steeler fans as well, is watching that 2005 Super Bowl together, you know, just as a family. And I remember I was coaching at the time, and I came home, and, wasn't in the NFL yet, but I came home in a snowstorm. I was coaching at Mount Union at the time. I came home in a snowstorm to watch that game with my dad and my brothers. And, you know, I think I love the city of Pittsburgh. It's a great city, you know. Again, just spend so much time there. And again, my brother being there still, you know, that we'll go there for, you know, some holidays as well still to this day. So can't say enough good things about the people of Pittsburgh, the city of Pittsburgh. And then, you know, I want my Pirates to be, you know, be better, but I'm on the Phillies bandwagon now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on this gorgeous Thursday. Well, it's, you know, a little schmutzy outside, but that's all right because it's sunshine inside. You know what? That's Nick Sirianni, Fly Eagles Fly head coach, talking about how much he loves the city of Pittsburgh, the Pirates, that sort of thing. Of course, he was a coach up at IUP at one point in time, too. And the joy he had in sharing Pittsburgh sports in his family, because they're all from this part of it. But now he's on the Phillies bandwagon. And certainly, Max, I got to tell you something. You know, we've heard something. Yeah. I think we got a news flash.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wesley Euler at the SNR breaking news desk. This Philly stuff is cute, but the real news that people need to know is that the Steelers have announced T.J. Watt returned to practice yesterday, still on IR, but his 21-day activation window has begun. T.J. Watt expected to return against the Saints after the Steelers' bye week. Wesley Euler at the SNR breaking news desk. Primanti's over cheesesteaks. Fellas, back to you.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. You know, and that he even threw out the question of the day. Would you take a cheesesteak hoagie or a Primanti's sandwich? And I am lock in step with a Primanti's sandwich. But I would eat both, actually. But no.
That's right, what I was thinking, right, too. How about both? I mean, can we do both?
Yeah, why do we have to pick? You know, I'm like, I mean, I feel like that's just so unfair, you know?
Yes, indeed.
I would put a cheesesteak in front of a Primanti sandwich because I've eaten them longer. I'm just saying, I didn't know what a Primanti sandwich was until I got to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So I mean, I knew what a Philly cheesesteak was.
But you're a Florida
cheesesteak
boy.
Was.
How'd you know what a Philly cheesesteak was?
I'm sorry. I'm a Boys to Men fan first as a young kid.
Oh.
And they're from Philly, and they used to talk about cheesesteaks. So.
Okay.
My Uncle Jimmy and his wife and my cousins, they're all from Philly.
Okay.
So, I was exposed to a cheesesteak before I was exposed to a Primanti sandwich. Even though my aunt lived in the Pittsburgh area for plus years, that was something she never took me to have one when I used to come up here. So I didn't really know about a Permaze till I came back here, of course, as an adult, when I was drafted by the Steelers. So I had about 10 years worth of cheesesteak head start.
Beautiful. You have now explained yourself, young man, and yeah, we say blessings to you. Okay.
And I will eat both. Be clear about this. I will eat both. And I love both.
Maybe but even two of both, right?
Probably. I mean, listen. Pepe's knows where my heart is on Saturdays before games.
Pepe's. That's another one. Yeah.
Yeah, so I used to go to Pepe's. I used to order for the offensive line before away trips.
We all had
cheesesteak.
We still got to get you to Caliente's. Dadgummit.
I know.
I got to do that. Okay. All right. Before we lose track totally of where we're at and this turns into a culinary show. All right. Big news flash, as Wes pointed out, T.J. Watt returned to practice yesterday. He was running. He was cutting. He was pass rushing. No contact. I mean, you know, they were in shells yesterday. I don't even know that T.J. was in. Yeah. But he worked out. And, you know, he worked out pregame in Miami. We saw that. Yeah. He was out there going at it. And I'm excited about it. I mean, just him being around is just – it's good for the guys. It's good for, you know, that defensive camaraderie. And just seeing him get working his way back. Max, what's it mean to you?
It means everything. Because we know what the identity looks like with TJ. We know what this team can be with 90 in the lineup. And so – for us to be in that 21-day window and knowing that, hey, you're not going to be here for Philly, but we got a bye, and then now you could possibly be ready by the New Orleans game, second half of the season, right?
Right.
Coming off a bye, feeling fresh, feeling spry. I mean, it could be something very good for us, because you have to remember the bulk of our divisional stuff is in that second half.
That's a great point.
Yeah, we've only had two divisional games. We're 1-1. We got four more to go after the bye. And this could be a second-half charge. While the offense has been getting up to speed, right?
Right. We're revving it up. Yeah. We're revving it up.
And then, boom, you get TJ back in the second half of the season to bolster that defense. And maybe some good things might happen. I do want to point out one thing, Wolf.
Please do.
Remember, I was talking about.
I know what you're going to say because I was consternated within myself. Do I open with that? Because you were talking about it yesterday, right? You're talking about it.
I know.
Do I dare say the name Bobby Quinn? Huh?
Yeah, exactly. As long as you don't say the Mighty Quinn.
Well, based on this year's stats, no. But last year, yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, and here's the thing, right? We had talked about it as a trade possibility and rumor.
Yep.
And then literally when I'm on the air with your brother out here.
It dropped, didn't it?
It dropped live, and I was like, what? I freaked out because I was like – and then when I found out what it was for a fourth-round pick. And then it was also that the Bears were going to pick up most of the salary this year.
Yes.
I was like,
well, think about this, Max. He's a 12-year vet. He's been with this is his fifth team he's joining. Now, he's had five seasons of double-digit sacks, including 18.5 last year, but he's had another four seasons of sub-five or under sacks. Boy, that's a lot to balance there. And without looking deep into his career, it suggests to me that there are some guys out there that seem to like they go to a new team and they get invigorated and the best football comes out of them, but then they get kind of they just kind of marinate after a while, and then it's on to another team, and then all of a sudden they get reinvigorated. You know what I mean?
Hey, listen, I would love the invigoration. Like you said, when he comes to a new team, he gets invigorated. I will take his invigoration
right.
for a year.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt, does it?
Doesn't hurt. And Chicago's footing the bill, so it's like getting a really good test drive on an expensive car. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have no intention of buying it. So, I mean, I just saying that would have been a nice addition instead of him going to the other team where he could be invigorated against us.
Right, right. That's
because
you were spot on. Go ahead.
Yeah. So for those of us that did not know this, Robert Quinn, who we're talking about, with Chicago Bears.
I guess I didn't really introduce this.
has been traded to the Philadelphia Eagles for a fourth-round pick, which means he will be available against us on Sunday when we go to Philly, just in case.
Right.
In case people are understanding why I'm harping on this so much, is that I talked about this yesterday as a potential for us, and all of a sudden it goes directly against us. Like any other 30 other teams he could have went to, right?
Right.
If it wasn't us,
right,
and it wasn't the Eagles. There's 29, sorry, because he was already on the Bears. So 29 other teams he could have went to, and he didn't. So
think about this,
we're going to see him Sunday.
18 and a half sacks he had last year. This year, through seven games, a very pedestrian, 8 tackles, 1 sack. Pro Football Focus is grading him at 40, you know, and I don't put a whole lot into that, but 43.8 is what they're giving him. He's 32 years old, a 3-time Pro Bowler. But you know what? You don't have to know a lot of the playbook to know how to rush the passer.
Yeah, you don't. You
know what I'm talking about.
See ball, hit ball.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
And he might feel better about being on a team that's 6-0 versus 2-4.
Three and four? Thereabouts. Yeah. Close enough.
Yeah, somewhere about it. Sub-500 football does not look to be in the contest, okay? we'll just put it that way. That might bring a little bit extra in your lifestyle, you know?
True.
And this is a team that gets after it defensively. Yes, they get after it. He was actually a brief teammate of mine when I was with the St. Louis Rams.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I keep forgetting how young you are. You're just a young pup.
I know, and you use young so well. It makes me feel good like I'm not 40.
It's always a matter of perspective, brother.
Correct. It's not about what it really is. I was about to say the telescope you look through is a little bit different.
Yeah. When you're looking from 24 years in the future from you to back to you, that's nice, okay? At 64, 40 looks pretty young.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, don't tell my kids that you call me young. Because they will argue against that.
Well, think about this now. You got some serious pass rushers up front. I mean, you got some guys like Javon Hargrave, which we know so well, right? We know Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham. You know, these guys, they come after it. You know, T.J. Edwards, their middle linebacker, he's a 5-sacker. You know, you got Hassan Reddick, who's got 4.5 sacks. He's the Mike linebacker. I mean, great googly-moogly. They got some people that can get after it. So you're just adding a little more kerosene to the fire.
Yeah, and when you look at it, I mean, that's a lot of – and I had Hassan Reddick out here in Arizona when I was covering the Cardinals.
Okay.
And Hassan is a guy – he's in his natural position now. He was out of place with the Cardinals. They tried to make him an off-of-the-ball backer, but the dude knows how to rush. I mean, that's the reason why he was drafted in the first round, was because when he was at Temple, which is right around the corner from where he's playing now, so now he's back home too – he was a TFL machine. I mean, absolutely. And you see that now with him. So, I mean, there's some challenges up front for us that we have to deal with. You know, and I think it's going to come down to the scheme that we have to get them on the move. Cause I think there's going to be a lot of pressure up the middle, you know, from Fletcher Cox and company.
Yeah.
It would behoove us to be a little bit more on the move. You like that one?
I like behooving. Yeah, we need to be behooving. we need to be behooving and moving. There you go.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. We'll be behooving while on the moving. because I think what Javon Hargrave and what Fletcher Cox bring in the middle is just it's twist. They like to get on your edges and press us.
Yep.
And that's something that even though – I felt like Mason and JD got a little bit better in the game against Miami with some of the movement stuff. It still kind of caught us. And so Philly's going to see that, and Philly's like, well, we can run twist games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello. We know how to twist. Why don't we twist? So I'm hoping that, you know, we could do some things to combat that, but also with that twist game and some situations, maybe take advantage of run, because that's the other thing is if they're going to run a pass blitz and they think it's a pass and we run it, that can all that also gets a guy off the off kilter, because what? Guys are moving backwards at the snap of the ball as opposed to moving forward at times.
Yes.
So that's where you have to kind of vary and maybe show some passing known passing formations and do some runs off of those known passing formations.
Absolutely.
Just so you can change it up somewhat to give our to give ourselves a chance in that situation, because they are a team that sports that. And, I mean, and listen, Josh Sweat off the edge. Josh Sweat is a guy who has who has been solid over the last couple of years for them. And then like and then there's still that monster they drafted in the first round that I wish we had.
Jordan Davis, baby. Yep.
Yep, Jordan Davis. He is a one man sled.
He's a one man tsunami. Okay.
Yeah. So you got to be prepared for that. And then at the second level, I mean, they have some decent linebackers, but I'm really focused on that front four, that seven. That's where my concern is. And hearing that you just added Robert Quinn to that mix just doesn't bode well mentally for me.
No, I think it – you know what? I would imagine that some of the boys over there – oh, was that your pooch?
Oh. That is my pooch because my daughter, for some reason, is outside the door real fast. Hold on one second.
Okay.
Pooch is worried about Robert Quinn, too.
No doubt about it. You know, this is a very volatile defense, a stingy, hard-hitting defense that moves with violence in its heart. You just put the tape on, and you watch these guys go. They are definitely a defense that comes after you, wants to hit you and hit you and hit you. It's fun watching their tape. You know,
it's
I enjoy.
Waves.
What's that?
It's waves.
Yeah, that's really it. What do they call flocks of eagles? Do eagles fly in flocks? I don't know. I don't think so.
A gaggle.
No, isn't that gooses or geese or something? They got a gaggle.
Oh, eagles. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. Eagles.
Eagles.
I was thinking about geese. I apologize.
You know, it reminds
I was hoping there would be more like geese than eagles.
It reminds me. It reminds me of that old tattoo joke. You know, some guy's tattooing on a guy's back, and I saw this in a tattoo parlor one time, and it said eagle. I thought you said beagle.
Yeah.
What are you? Oh, I just thought that was funny. You know, but regardless,
I mean, but technically, I mean, at one point they were steagles.
Oh, that's
so
true.
It's okay.
That's right. That was back in the 30s, I think, wasn't it? 30s or 40s.
It was during one of the World Wars. I want to say it was It might have been World War II.
Yeah. So that'd be in the 40s.
In the early 40s. So, yeah.
We'll have to check on that.
Yeah, I know. You know what? Here we go. I'm going to hit it right now on the old phonerator.
Okay. Hey, you know what? Save it because we got the cool breeze coming up next, and we can – find that out over the break. How's that? We got to get going for Jerry.
Even better, 1943. Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
We're good.
No. Hey, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we will have Jerry Dulac joining us, the cool breeze sliding in on a yacht, even though I don't think it's yachting weather. He will still manage his way down to our airwaves when we come back here in the locker room with Wolf and Starks on SNR and ESPN Radio.
Is In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, we are back. You hear the cool breeze.
I want to dance, you know that, Max.
I know. And it's just a nice little two-step, you know. On a freshly cleaned yacht decking with your boat shoes on, an umbrella. It's a nice drink. It has a little bit of an orangish, reddish hue.
Right,
it's delicious. Look, you know, it's mellow, but yet powerful at the same time. Hey, you know what else is mellow and powerful? All right, okay. All right, let's go. I couldn't help it.
The cool Jerry breeze Dulac. Enough.
Yeah, exactly. The cool breeze Jerry Dulac is brought to us by Archie's on East Carson Street on the south side. $9 Bud Light pitchers every NFL Sunday, and no Sunday more important than this Sunday. If you're not traveling to Philly, go down to Archie's and order you a pitcher, and you'll get a bunch of Bud Lights for $9 for under 10 bucks. That sounds like a deal. All right, Jerry, welcome, welcome, welcome. I've got to ask you, of course, the breaking news and the big news of the day. TJ Watt returned to practice. What does that mean? Where is the expectation level of yourself and the feeling level of knowing that TJ Watt is back on the practice field in some capacity?
Well, Max, good morning. Thank you for the introduction. Always a treat to be introduced by you and Wolf. And what I have been told all along is that he will return November 13th against New Orleans after the bye. I don't want to call it good news that he injured his knee, but one thing that comes about from injuring his knee and having an extended stay on injured reserve is it gives that torn pec muscle a couple more weeks to heal. And I think having him on IR, one of the things they kind of liked having him, if you will, on IR is it saves TJ from TJ. You see TJ out on the field in pregame warmups, wanting to get out there and run around, and if he wasn't on IR, he would have wanted to come back in two or three games, and they didn't want that. You know, they want him to be able to rest that pectoral muscle. They feel he will be fine, and that extra stay on IR will make it, instead of maybe 90%, will make it, they feel, 100%.
Well, the big thing about that, you know, is the fact that you also got to look long-term, because this guy is a franchise player. This is a guy that you want to look to the long-term, too. You don't want any sort of residual problems, let's say, from the torn pec, going into the future, because that just could set him up as, you know, to getting more injuries. And to me, it's just sound move all the way around. Let me ask you this, though, Jerry. I got to ask you, were you surprised with Nick Sirianni's soliloquy about his fondness for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, because I didn't know about his background.
No.
And with his family. And I was impressed the way he ticked off those names of the old Pirates, you know, including Doug Drabek, who everybody remembers Barry Bonds and Bobby Bonilla and Andy Van Slyke. But when he mentioned Doug Drabek, I actually got a chuckle out of it. You know, back in my younger day, some of those Pirates, I used to travel when I was with a Suburban paper. And I would travel with the Pirates, and it was kind of right before that time. It was their World Series time. It was in 1979, 1980, when I traveled with them as a young reporter for the Daily News and McKee Sports. So, I got a chuckle out of that when he started talking about the old Pirates.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, this is something where, you know, when you talk about just the connections between Philly and Pittsburgh, you know, we actually referenced right before going to break, talking about the Steagles, that 1 year combination of efforts because of obviously the draft and World War II happening. Just kind of talk about just the history between Pittsburgh and Philly from your knowledge. Just, I mean, it's someplace that we struggle to win it most of the time, but I mean, obviously they'd struggle the same way when they come to see us. Your history with Philly and, of course, with the Steelers and what that kind of means for the state of PA, not just in the NFL.
You know, Max, my own personal connections or recollections, one, the most vivid is something that has little to do with the Steelers, but having gone to Penn State, I was always amazed at the divide at Penn State between the Philly fans and the Pittsburgh fans. But one thing was universal, though, at Penn State was that all the students had a severe dislike for the University of Pittsburgh. So it didn't matter where you were from. You know, when I look back at some of the games they played, obviously there have been quite a few. But I go back again to when I was a young reporter at McKeesport going to a preseason game in Philly where it just rained like the Dickens. You know, it was horrible rain. And I think that was the Jack Delaplane game, if going back where he first got the nickname, where he was slopping and sliding along that turf, when I think Myron Cope nicknamed him Hydroplane, Delaplane.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, the other game most recently was that destruction, that 34-3 game in a Super Bowl year. In a Super Bowl year, what was it, week three or week four when Ben was sacked? I think the Steelers were sacked 9 times and Ben was sacked 8 times. And or it was 8 sacks and Ben was sacked 7 of them. And that was just a complete destruction of that team. And you thought, wow, and that was Carson Wentz rookie year. And that was the big deal. They were calling it Wentzylvania, if you recall, back then.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, look where he ended up. But that was a big moment for the Eagles, a big moment for Carson Wentz, and a really low moment for the Steelers. You know, as lopsided a loss as they had endured, it was just complete domination, and yet they ended up going to the Super Bowl that year.
Okay, now, you know the rivalry between these two teams, the interstate rivalry. Now, I will give you a situation. A young Craig Wolfley being friends with Ron Jaworski, who was from Buffalo, New York,
right,
and who had given me an Eagles T-shirt at one point in time, right, in my collegiate years. So I happened to be wearing it. You know how it is when you're a college kid. You just come now, and you're a rookie going to this team. I go to St. Vincent. I walk into the locker room with the vets on the vets had reported. I walk in the locker room. I happen to be wearing that very same Eagles T-shirt. And I'll never forget walking in the locker room and silence. And I look around, and I see Joe Green, I see Lambert, I see these guys looking at me. And I kind of like, I'll just move over here. You know, you could feel like the all of a sudden somebody just, you know, put a little tension in the air. And I heard this little laugh across the room, and it was a great late L.C. Greenwood. He said, "Young man, that T-shirt's not going to fly here." And I got to tell you, he was true to his word, because when I came back from practice, the T-shirt was already gone.
Wolf, that sounds like that would have been one of those great Southwest Airlines commercials. You want to get away?
Yeah, yes, exactly. That would have been perfect. You want to get away? Yes, I do. Be sitting there like itching my neck, you know.
Yeah.
But, Jerry, yeah, let me ask you something. Calvin Austin, were you surprised that the Wednesday came and went and there was no movement with Calvin?
Well, Wolf, they put him on IR for the rest of the year.
Right.
I'm not sure. Yeah, and so I was not surprised.
When I say movement, I meant he didn't,
right,
you know, get it moved
right
to the active roster.
Right. I'm sorry. Once I found out that he aggravated his foot injury, no, I was not surprised, because then it was a no-brainer. And I wasn't sure what they were going to do with him. I thought that, you know, let's face it, they would be, you know, I don't want to say wasting a roster spot, but they would be using a roster spot merely for his development with the small hope he could get in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe throw him in the game. You know, fourth round pick, they like what they saw of him. He has the one element that excessive speed that they don't have. And so I thought, okay, maybe they'll keep him around because they have such high hopes for him. But then again, you know, you guys know, you learn and you develop in training camp. And when the regular season starts, it's about X's and O's and game plans and winning football games. Coaches don't have time for development, if you will, and teaching in the regular season. So not like they do at training camp. And so when he missed all the preseason and half of training camp, that just really set mm-hmm. him back. And so I was curious to see what they were going to choose. But it became a moot point when he aggravated his injury. And now the poor guy needs surgery on his foot. So that's too bad, because I think, you know, when they drafted those two guys, Pickens and Calvin Austin, on the first four rounds, after losing three of their top five receivers, you know, it was a no-brainer move, but it was a good move in the draft. And you got two different types of receivers. You know, the tall guy who makes those comeback catches, and then the smaller, fast guy who plays every position and was very productive in college. And so they're not, you know, we're not going to see one of them this year, and that's too bad.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that that puts a nice bow on that.
Yeah. Were you surprised? Well, no.
No.
You mean I covered every possible aspect of that?
I think
question.
You is did, that Jerry. That was beautiful.
Yeah. Yes. I would say that was beautiful and also not so great. But
yeah, not so great for Calvin. That's
right.
The problem.
Not so great for Max to follow it up, because every possible angle was covered with that lengthy, exhaustive answer. I get it.
That's okay. Who needs to cover up when you can just ask a brand new question and get off this topic? that would be me. But when you look at this Eagles team and you look at what they have in the secondary, they've traded for a lot and they continue to trade for defense. I mean, how are they able to, A, pull this off, and B, I mean, you think about, you trade for C.J. Gardner-Johnson. You trade for Darius Slay. Now you've traded for Robert Quinn. I mean, how does the rich continue to get richer over there in Philly with this, with all of these moves?
Well, you know, what it's mindful of is what the Rams did to win the Super Bowl and keep bringing guys in, a guy here, a guy there. And you know, the Eagles know that they're all in, that they're close. They're right there. They're going to be one of those teams, and anything they can do to put themselves over the top and cement where they are right now, that's what they're doing. And, they look very good right now. It's still a little early. You know, they still have to play 11 more games. And, you know, we've seen times that teams that start fast don't always finish fast, and teams that start, you know, modestly slow or average tend to, you know, come on at the end of the year. We've seen that with Steeler teams who've won the Super Bowl. You know, they look pretty good right now. They certainly do. They can throw the ball, they can run the ball, and they have a quarterback who can move. But picking up Robert Quinn to me was, when I saw that last night, I thought, you know, great move by them. And I thought Darius Slay was a big acquisition for them. And, you know, they have good young receivers. And Jalen Hurts is, you know, playing better than I thought he could. And I think that's the only reason I hold back a little bit on the Eagles. I want to see him last a full season. I don't mean physically, just how he performs all year. And is he capable of taking that team beyond just maybe the first round of the playoffs?
You know, I'm really impressed with Darius Slay, but it was funny because I was reading on some of his bio stuff, and here I find out that he wants to be called Slay. And the only person that he gives the ability to call him by his first name is his grandma. I thought, that's kind of interesting. I don't know why, but I just found that very interesting. But anyhow, moving along, you talk about Jalen Hurts. You know, in his third year, it looks like he's like getting the idea. You know, I mean, you're talking about 6 passing TDs and 6 rushing TDs versus only 2 INTs. That's I think it's pretty impressive. But like you, I wonder, is this the guy that's going to develop from here forward, or is it going to be, you know, one of those things where late season, I don't know, maybe you start falling off? It's going to be interesting to me.
You know, it's one of those things where I can't get out of my head that Nick Saban replaced him at Alabama with Tua Tagovailoa. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so in my mind it says, you know, that Nick Saban thought there was somebody better for his offense. And so, look, I know Joe Burrow transferred out of Ohio State, too, because they were playing the other guy, and he goes to LSU, and, of course, he's, arguably the best quarterback in the league, certainly among them. So that's not always an indicator. And look how Jalen Hurts has performed. But I just that always sticks in my head that a coach thought somebody was better than him. And maybe that's why I'm just a little reluctant to, put the star on his head and say, okay, he's taken them to the Super Bowl. So I'll hold off just a little bit until I see him do it over the course of a season.
All right. Well, that. Well, I mean, and I think that's fair judgment, right? I think we kind of crown guys a little bit early, but you know, it's easy to pick a team that's the last undefeated in a lot of those situations when you're talking about there's still challenges ahead for them. One of the things I do have to ask Jerry, as we look at this trade deadline less than a week away, I mean, do you think there's any moves the Steelers might make? I know it's been a minute since we traded for Minka Fitzpatrick, and we saw how that works. The Steelers aren't normally in the trade game, but is there something in there that is a possibility or anything that you might have heard as far as any type of roster upgrades or any guys that might be moved before the trade deadline?
You know, Max, what I can tell you is that, and what I have been told, is that there is nothing.
Wait a minute.
Works.
You said what you can tell us and what you've been told. Uh-huh,
no, yeah, I know.
Whoa.
Signs diametrically opposed to each other, these statements.
Is that nobody has approached them about any type of trade for Chase Claypool or Mason Rudolph. And from the Steelers' end, Mason Rudolph isn't asking to be traded. Mitch Trubisky isn't asking to be traded. Chase Claypool isn't being asked to be traded. And the Steelers aren't trying to trade those, I'll use Chase Claypool because that's the popular rumor, which is just, I will totally debunk unless some team would come to them with a one or two choice in return. And that's not happening. Unless it was some ridiculous, they might consider it, but that hasn't happened. They're not looking to trade anybody. So that's the best I can tell you. And nobody is knocking on their door to make one. So to answer your question, I don't see anything happening.
And especially after Calvin Austin re-aggravated the foot. I mean, I always thought
that's the other thing. That's
the possibility.
The other reason,
yeah. Right. There was maybe a possibility, and I really didn't want to, because I still think that Chase has so much to contribute.
And we've seen that the last two games, Wolf, and that's the other point in the whole thing. Why would they trade him right now? They wouldn't, because you're just going to further deplete that wide receiver core. So that of course is the main reason why it won't happen, but all those other reasons play into it.
And also, Levi Wallace, he didn't practice. I was a little bit worried about him yesterday. Have you heard anything about how he's doing? Because you know, you come off the concussion. Then you all of a sudden you got the shoulder, and it's the big surprise yesterday was that Akello did practice, I believe,
right,
a full practice, right? So that gives you some comfort, but Levi, it's just a little worrisome when you stack injuries like this. You kind of get a little worried.
Yeah, and the way he was injured too, I actually thought, he banged his head again. Mm. Because the guy fell on him, and that's how he injured his shoulder. But to answer your question, Wolf, no, I have no further intel on that. I think today, you know, Thursday's always a more telling indication from practice who might be getting close to ready and who isn't. So, you know, Wednesday they're always more cautious with guys, but I think Thursday you get to get a better sense as to who might play. And so, but as of right now, I don't have any additional information on Levi Wallace.
Beautiful.
Okay.
Well, thank
beautiful,
you so much, Jerry. We appreciate you, brother, as always.
Yeah, Jerry, we appreciate the time.
Well, fellas, I always enjoy being with you, and we will chat. I'll see you at the Ball Yard in Philly on Sunday.
Sounds good. Save me a cheesesteak.
There we go.
But
there we go. The truth comes out. No, don't try and cover it up. Don't try and cover it up. That is an isolated statement you made after that, so don't even try to play the fence. Just go ahead. Just join. Join me. It's okay that Philly has a better sandwich option.
I don't believe it's Pittsburgh. Better. They are co-equal, and it's just a matter of choice. What say you, Jerry? Are you still there? I think we lost him. Okay.
We lost Jerry.
Time to go, buddy.
Yeah, exactly. Jerry was brought to us by Archie's on East Carson Street on the South Side, where they are sporting $9 pitchers of Bud Light every NFL Sunday. Head on down there, grab you one. If you can't be in the Ball Yard, as Jerry Dulac says, you might as well go be at Archie's and watch the game with other Steeler faithful come game day. We're going to step aside here, and when we come back, we're going to continue to talk. We're going to talk about what Jerry said as far as about the trades and about the health of of certain players. On the other side of this commercial break, you're in the locker room with Wolf and Starks here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
In the Locker Room with Wolf and Starks on ESPN Pittsburgh and Steelers Nation Radio. Presented by your neighborhood Ford store. The F-150 is the official truck of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Gets the snap. He's back. Fourth down. And he throws that pass. Almost. It is intercepted. And it is Akello Witherspoon. And he is knocked down by a defender, in that case, running after him after the interception. And the Steeler defense comes up huge on a fourth down play in their own territory.
Yeah, Akello Witherspoon, Max. He was full on in practice yesterday. He's been out since week three, but he's a full go as of today, unless, of course, there was any residual something or other that we don't know about, a la DeMarvin Leal that happened a couple weeks ago. But certainly, he would be a welcome addition back as you fly into Philly this weekend, huh?
Oh, yeah. We want Akello to fly. We want the Witherspoon to fly into Eagle Land with us suit up. Not just fly and sit on the sidelines and work out against air. I think you're going to have all hands on deck for this. And when you're thinking about that secondary, with Akello Witherspoon in it, I feel a lot better going up against the likes of Quez Watkins, Devontae Smith, and A.J. Brown there for the Eagles. You want to be a full strength, especially in a team that has the talent that Philly has. The one thing I will say, and, I know people might listen to this and think, oh, my gosh, Max is just burying us. I'm not burying the Steelers squad. I'm not at all, and I'm not over waxing poetic about the Philadelphia Eagles. I've watched too many of their games this year to not deliver a realistic point of view. But with the injuries, it's tough. But as we start to gain guys back, it makes it a more a more even task as opposed to a very lopsided task. I think having Akello Witherspoon back there, obviously we'll monitor Levi Wallace along the way. But, I love what I've seen from the guys who've gotten opportunities, right? I love what I've seen from Josh Jackson, Trey Norwood, and company, and how we've kind of mixed and matched these guys into it. And so just adding another body into that is only going to help. It's only going to increase for the potency of what the Philly Eagles like to do. And and here's my thing, Wolf. Of the games I have watched of Philly, I have not seen a complete game from them yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like they hit you fast and early, right? Yep. They hit you in the mouth early, quick, but then they kind of fizzle out, and then they kind of get back to balance. So the biggest thing is limiting how fast they start.
Which means you got to have a fast start yourself.
We've got to have a fast start to compete with that, because I think that was what ultimately doomed us with the Miami Dolphins, right? The Miami came down the first two drives and scored on us, and then we settled down.
Yep.
But offensively, if that's going to happen to the defense until they can settle in and feel comfortable with what their assignments are, that's where the offense has to pick them up. That's where Kenny Pickett and the offensive line and our receiving core and running backs have to all kick in at the same clip. They have to physically be ready for an opportunity to go out and strike when the defense does deliver that stop, right? Or when the defense needs a little extra blow, they can sustain the drive and let it end in points, just so you give your defense a little more panache to go out there, right? Defenses are more invigorated when they see the offense put points on the board.
No question.
And chew climb off the clock. I mean, that's just how it is. And I think when you have the prospect of Akello Witherspoon, that makes it a little bit easier, right? That takes the pressure on the pressure cooker goes down just a smidge.
Right.
When you take a little heat off. I think that's just kind of, you know, and that's how I've always looked at this, and that's how I'm going to view this game. This is a winnable game if everybody's on their P's and Q's. And it has to be a full three-team effort. When I say three teams, I mean offense, defense, special teams. All three must be in sync. All three of those phases must be in sync for us to have a successful day. And when we look at the wins that we've had, that is what has happened. There's only two to analyze right now. But if we continue with that same formula and everybody can get it at the same time, that's when good things happen. We're not a team right now that can afford to have one phase lacking and the other two at full speed. We've got to have all three, you know, at full speed for us to come out with a win at this point in the year.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the thing. I'm not all that worried about the fast start by the Dolphs, okay? Tua had been out for a couple of weeks there, all right? They had gone with some other guys. Offensively, their game plan changed a little bit to accommodate the fact that you don't have Tua to the same degree. Plus, he's left-handed. You know, I don't think we took into account enough what a left-hander looking from, you know, left to right instead of right to left or however, you know. I think that there's something to be accounted there. It takes you a little while to get used to what they're seeing versus what you normally see. So, again, I don't worry about it as a big thing. But, yeah, you're right. One thing that's going to happen here is the Steelers cannot afford to let the Dolphins jump out. I'm sorry, the Eagles jump out like the Dolphins. That's for sure. There's no doubt about it. If you let these guys come out and punch you in the mouth more than once, you're in big trouble. All right? I mean, even one, yeah, you want to lie in the first one. You know what I mean? And that would be that's exactly what you need offensively from the Steelers this week. But, you know, it's not going to be easy. You know what the link is like?
Yeah. No, I mean, and that's the thing is that, you know, like you said, Tua being lefty, I think changes, you know, a lot of the read responsibility because now for the defense, it forces them to read right to left, right?
Yeah, it just changes things. Everybody's
it changes things for them. But you do know that lefties, we're the only ones on the right side of our minds, right?
Of course. I'm left-handed too, brother.
See, there it is. There it is.
There we go. That's why we're copacetic. So,
That's why we are like peas in a pod.
We both had concussions and we're left-handers.
Exactly, and the fact that we had to use those terrible lefty scissors that never really cut anything.
Oh no,
in grade
terrible.
School. Oh, they were the worst. And then they had like the big letters on it that said lefty. So
yeah, like we're spazzes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's like okay, just go ahead, give us a helmet, throw us on the short bus. It's cool. Which we ended up picking up helmets and riding buses anyways.
There you
for
go.
Sports.
There
so you go. It worked out. It worked out. But you know, I think the other element that has to be looked at is we have not done well against mobile, agile, athletic quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Zach Wilson was one of those prime examples where we kind of struggled to contain Zach Wilson. But we also hesitated. Right? That was the other thing. Like, remember we were talking about there was like three or four sacks that they should have had.
Right.
That guys just hesitated on Zach Wilson and allowed him to kind of juke them and shook and jive. I think that's the other thing that, you know, concerns me is when you're thinking about, you know, if you do lock down the receivers, well, then you have to deal with now the backfield. And that's, you know, Miles Sanders, that's Kenneth Gainwell, and that's Jalen Hurts, right? Those are the three you have to worry about in the backfield because all three can run. All three of them, and then you have that offensive line where you're looking at, okay, well, who are we going to take advantage of on that offensive line? We've had, you know, the advantage the last couple of weeks where you've had rookies and young guys or new guys starting in position, especially in the interior. This interior is not that. You're talking about Jason Kelce, who already came out, you know, after the Tom Brady game against us. It was like, yeah, no, I mean, Tom has one time to come over here and say something. But after that,
exactly,
you know, that won't fly. So we know what Salt is at the center position, and then you have Landon Dickerson on one side, who's a young guy, as a second round pick for them a year ago, and then Isaac Sumalo, another guy, veteran, third round pick. But they're all homegrown players. There's no trades in there, right? They drafted Lane Johnson. They drafted Jason Kelce. They drafted Sumalo. They drafted Landon Dickerson. They drafted Mailata. So, you know, these are guys that are homegrown in their system, and they're a good unit. I'm not going to even try and parse words when we're talking about offensive line. Like, this is the one that's the gold standard in the NFL. But I believe we have gold standard players on the defensive side that's going to challenge those guys. So we just got to be creative in how we get to it. But we have to provide pressure on Jalen Hurts. Not to say we need to go all out blitzes on him and give him one-on-ones on the outside, not by any stretch of the imagination, but we do have to be precise when we do blitz. It must be effective.
Exactly so. But speaking of fly, Eagles fly, we need to fly, man.
All right, you mean bye, Wolfie, bye?
Yeah, we need to sign out on this segment, buddy.
I guess I could, right? Because you know what's on the other end of this segment, right?
I know. It's the Power Hour, baby.
There we go. He got it. There we go. I love it when a plan comes together. You're right. This is the end of hour one here in the locker room. I just want to remind our fans, you can go out there. You can like, subscribe, and listen to all of our shows, as well as the rest of a wonderful SNR lineup, whether it's the Standard with Tom and Jacob, the Blitz with Wes and Motes. What day is this? It's Thursday, right?
Thursday, buddy.
That's Godfather Thursday, Posgat. Yeah, Godfather Thursday is also available on the SNR lineup and much more. Just go to the Steelers mobile app, the iHeartRadio app, look up SNR, and you'll see our whole suite of shows available for your audio pleasure. When we come back at the Power Hour, Wolf, I think we should let's continue to expound upon these Eagles.
Pontificate. Or the Eagles.
Yeah, we'll pontificate and we will expound upon even further when we come back. You're in the locker room with Wolf Starks and the Ninjas here on SNR and ESPN Radio.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I got to change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.